I was very impressed with Varanayake Prabhu's presentation. It was very, very succinct and profound presentation. Actually, ISKCON is here to unify the world. Today's world is divided in so many ways. And ISKCON is here to show everyone how to transcend those differences and come to a platform where we all can become united as a family. That is the essential teachings of the Vedas. Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. Vasudha, the entire world, is actually one family. It is unfortunate that we are creating so many differences among ourselves. But when we become properly situated in spiritual understanding, then we can very easily become united as a family. Once in New York City, some priests, Roman Catholic priests, came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and they questioned Prabhupada in a rather challenging way, that why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus? Prabhupada's response was, "No, I'm not converting the Christians into Hindus or Jews into Muslims. I'm simply making better Christians out of the Christians, better Jews out of the Jews, better Muslims out of the Muslims, and better Hindus out of the Hindus. I come from a Hindu background. I'll honestly admit, I didn't actually know what Hinduism meant until I came across Srila Prabhupada. And when I met Srila Prabhupada, when I became exposed to his teachings, then I realized what my actual identity as a Hindu is." In a similar note, Baranaika also was saying that he was a Christian, he's coming from a Christian background, but probably he became a better Christian when he became a Hare Krishna. What all the religions are actually trying to convey, what all the religions are trying to teach, all the religions in this world are talking about God. And they are showing us the way to God. And all the religions, all the bona fide religions, are admitting that there is only one God. He may be identified in different names according to difference of languages, but he is one without a second. That is the identity of God. Supreme. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada used to present his teachings, he did not use the expression just God. He used the expression the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the definition of supreme is that there is no one equal to him and no one is superior to him. So he is the supreme. He is one without a second. That is the Vedic presentation. Ekam eva adityah paramah purushah. The identity of God is, he is ekam, he is one. Eva advitiya, there is no one equal to him. and Parama Purusha, the Supreme Personality. So when we approach different different religions in a proper way, in an appropriate way, under the guidance of qualified teachers, then we get the same message everywhere. God is one without a second. Now, often a misunderstanding prevails that Hinduism is a polytheistic religion, but actually that's not true. The Hinduism has two concepts. One is devas, devtas, and the other is Bhagavan. Devtas are actually the different controllers of different departments of the universal affairs. Like, there is a controller of the fire department. There's a controller of the water department. There's a controller of a wind department. There's a controller of education department. There's a controller, responsible controller of the finance department. Now, those personalities are devas and devis. But Bhagavan, Bhaga Asti Iti Bhagavan, that personality is one without a second. That's the difference. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Whereas there is Indra, Chandra, Varun, Pavan, etc. Pavandev is the controller of the wind department. Varun Dev, the controller of the water department. Agni Dev, the controller of the fire department. Lakshmi Devi, controller of the finance department. Saraswati, the controller of the education department. So these are the different controllers of different affairs of the universe. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is not a Deva. Krishna is Bhagavan. Then again, the Bhagavan, the expression Bhagavan has been identified or defined. Bhaga asti iti Bhagavan. And most of you are coming from Indian background, so you know this expression, Bhan. The suffix Bhan indicates one who possesses. Like, for example, one who has wealth, which is Dhan. One who has dhan, he is dhanavan. One who has bal, he is balavan. One who has guna, he is gunavan. And so forth. Now, similarly, one who has bhaga, he is bhagavan. Now, what is the definition? What's the meaning of the word bhaga? Bhaga has been defined as aisharyasya samagrasya virjasya jashasya shriya Jnana Vairagayaschaiva Shannang Iti Bhagangana. Definition of Bhaga is complete wealth, Aisharya. Samagrasya. Samagra means complete. Total, one who possesses complete wealth. One who possesses virja, the strength, power. One who possesses Shri, the beauty, fame, yash, gyan, knowledge, and vairagya, renunciation. The one who possesses the six opulences, wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation, to an absolute extent, he is Bhagavan. In the material nature, we never come across a personality like that who can claim that he possesses all the wealth, he possesses all the strength and so forth. But the Vedas are indicating, no, there is a person who possesses all of this. He is one without a second. He is Ekam Eva Aditya Parama Purushaha. And that personality is identified in different, according to his different qualities and different activities, he is identified by different names. For example, Krishna, the word Krishna means all attractive. Because he possesses all these qualities, he is all attractive. He is the giver of the supreme pleasure and he is the supreme enjoyer. Therefore, he is Rama. Ramate iti Rama. He is the source and shelter of every living entity. Therefore, he is Narayan. He is the cause of entire creation. Therefore, he is Vishnu. And that same personality appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, he is Nanda Nandan, Yashoda's son, Yashoda Nandan. He is very dear to the gopis. Therefore, he is Gopinath, Gopi Janaballava. He performed his wonderful pastimes in various ways. Therefore, he is Leela Purushottam. He resides in Vrindavan. Therefore, he is Vrindavanishwar. So in this way, all the names are that he is identified by are nothing but the indication of his different qualities. He has innumerable qualities, therefore he has innumerable names. He has unlimited pastimes, therefore, according to that, he has innumerable names. So he has many names, but he is one without a second. And he expands himself into various forms. His expansions take place in two different ways. One is Swangsha expansions, and the other is Bibhinnangsha expansions. He expands, he himself expands without any difference. There is no difference in those expansions. Those expansions are known as avatar or incarnations. And he has his Bibhinnangsha expansion, that is, his parts and parcels. He expands in his minute expansions, and those expansions are known as jivas. Like we are his expansions, but we are his minute expansions. Therefore, qualitatively we are one with him, but quantitatively we are different. An example, the sun and sun's rays. The sun is complete. The sun is the source of all the rays of the sun. But from the sun, innumerable rays are coming out. So those rays are his Bibhinnangshas, minute expansions. We are his minute expansions. But qualitatively, just as the sun ray is qualitatively one with the sun, similarly, we are one with him. But a ray is not equal to the sun. Whereas, like you consider a situation where one sun expands into two, three, four, five, and so forth. Now those suns are qualitatively non-different from each other. All the entire potency, just try to imagine, like if the sun expands like that, the entire potency of the sun is retained in those expansions. Those are the incarnations or avatars. In Brahma Samhita, a very nice analogy has been given in this respect, defining his incarnations as Diparchi Reva Hidasantaram Abhupetya Dipayati Vibrita Hetu Samana Dharma Jastadrigeva Hicha Vishnu Taya Vibhati Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Dipar chireva hi dasantaram abhupetya dipayate vibrita hetu samana dharma. Just as one lamp lights many other lamps. But when those lamps are lit, they give out the same amount of light and heat. Qualitatively, they are the same, and quantitatively also they are the same. But the first lamp lit the other lamps. That's the only difference. So Krishna is that original personality, Govindam, Adi Purusham, the original personality who lit or who expanded into these different forms. So this is the basic teachings of the Vedas which Srila Prabhupada has presented. And when you go into the depth of it, and when you go to the depth of every single religion, we will find that all the religions are speaking about that same personality. In some religion, the informations may be more profound. In some other religion, maybe it's less, but that doesn't matter. The subject is the same, but the degree of understand, degree of presentation, or degree of expansion, exposition may be different. So, anyway, actually, I didn't want to speak so much today. I thought of making a rather PowerPoint presentation because I notice, like when we speak, we take a lot of time, but it doesn't go very deep. Because for various reasons, our hearing faculty is not very acute nowadays. But if we have a visual presentation, then both hearing and our seeing, both the faculties become active. And it goes a little more deeper than that. So, and as a result of that, to tell you frankly, like I got involved in making movies. Because I felt that is the best way to convey our message. And when I started to make, actually the first movie that, it was not a movie, I first wanted to make it a movie, but then one day I was having a discussion with Hema Malini about that project, and she suggested that we, instead of make movie, we make a TV series, TV serial. And her point actually was that if the movie doesn't make it to the box office, then the whole project will be a failure. Whereas a TV serial, it'll continue. So if people will be forced to see it and get the message. Our business is to convey the message. So that's why that's the best way to present it. And that's why in 1995, I got involved in this project of making a TV serial on Srila Prabhupada's life, which was telecasted in Indian National TV, Channel 1. And anyway, so I thought of making a presentation of who Srila Prabhupada is, what Srila Prabhupada did, and what Srila Prabhupada gave us, and what will be the benefit of receiving this wonderful gift of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada appeared in Calcutta in 1896 as a son of a cloth merchant and who was a Vaishnav. His father was a pure devotee of the Lord. And he brought up Srila Prabhupada also to become a pure devotee of the Lord. For example, whenever some saintly personality used to be invited to their house, Srila Prabhupada's father used to request them to bless Srila Prabhupada so that he could become a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. His only desire was that his son grew up to become a devotee of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922 when he was 26 years old and he was the manager of a pharmaceutical company. It was one of the first pharmaceutical companies in India. The first one was actually Bengal Chemical, started by a very well-known scientist, Prafulla Chandra Ghosh, and the second one was started by Dr. Kartik Bose, Dr. Bose's laboratory. At the age of 26, Srila Prabhupada was the manager of that company. He was married, he had a little son. When he met his spiritual master, his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And during the first meeting, his spiritual master instructed Prabhupada to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada took it up as his life's mission. From that time onwards, he completely committed himself to that mission, and eventually, after 44 years of struggle, in 1965, Srila Prabhupada set out for the United States of America. So, Srila Prabhupada actually went to America, not the way we travel nowadays, not by plane or other such very sophisticated means of travel. Srila Prabhupada traveled from Calcutta to New York in a cargo ship called Jaladuta. Srila Prabhupada was the only non-crew passenger in that. It was a cargo ship, so it didn't carry any passenger as such. Srila Prabhupada was the only person traveling as a passenger in that ship. Actually, at that time, Srila Prabhupada was 70 years old. Srila Prabhupada celebrated his 70th birthday in a rather unceremonious way in the boat Jaladuta. No one was there to celebrate his birthday. And at that time, at that age of 70, Srila Prabhupada set out from India to go to America to start this mission that his spiritual master assigned to him. Some months ago, one devotee was telling me, he was from Delhi, he was talking to an elderly gentleman who also was acquainted with Srila Prabhupada. So that person told this boy, who is a devotee, a full-time devotee. So he was telling him that, do you know what Srila Prabhupada has done? So this boy, being a full-time ISKCON devotee, naturally responded, yes, I know what Srila Prabhupada has done. Then that person said, no, you don't know. So he felt a little offended, and he insisted that, no, I know what Prabhupada has done. He said, no, you do not know what Srila Prabhupada has done. And then finally he told him, you do not know what it is to be like, 70 years old. You are young. You do not know what it feels like when you are 70. And at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada went to America single-handedly to preach this mission. No money, no support, no patronage. He didn't even know where he was going to stay in America. What to speak of where he was going to stay in America. He didn't even know where he was going to stay in America. He didn't know, even know where he was what he was going to eat in America. In this total uncertainty, at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada set out for America. And that also in a cargo ship. Sumati Morarji, the chairperson of India Steamship Company, Sindhya Steamship Company, Prabhupada begged her to give him a passage to America. Sumati Morarji refused. She said, Swamiji, I can't let you go. You do not know what America is like. You do not know what you're going to do there. You do not even know that you won't get any proper food there. People there do not know what vegetarianism means. And then she pointed out, and why should them? Why do you think that the Americans are going to listen to what you have to say? Their lifestyle, their ways, they are completely different. And Srila Prabhupada just insisted, no, please let me go. Just if for you, it doesn't take anything. All you have to do is just write a letter to your company and to make me some arrangement to travel. Please allow me. Sumati Maharaji finally even told Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you are like my father. And that's why it breaks my heart when you are requesting me in this way. In one hand, I cannot disregard your request, and at the same time, it breaks my heart to fulfill that request. Anyway, finally, Srila Prabhupada convinced Sumati Morarji, and he got a passage to America in this Jaladuta ship, cargo ship. And while traveling, Srila Prabhupada had two heart attacks. There was no medical treatment. Srila Prabhupada didn't even know that it was a heart attack. First one, he had one, and then it occurred again. He felt a terrible pain in his chest. But one wonderful thing happened soon after that. Srila Prabhupada had a dream. Not a dream, actually, Prabhupada presented as a dream, but Prabhupada had the vision that Krishna came and Krishna was massaging his chest. And Arun Pandya, the captain of that boat, admitted that he, in his entire career, he never seen Atlantic to be so peaceful. So Krishna actually helped Srila Prabhupada to come to America in spite of all these difficulties. Srila Prabhupada came to America, but he didn't know where to go. Eventually, Srila Prabhupada got a place in 26th Second Avenue. And there, nearby, there was a park called Tompkins Square Park. In Tompkins Square Park, Srila Prabhupada used to go with a kartal, and he used to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and some young boys and girls became attracted to Srila Prabhupada's chanting. Then Srila Prabhupada started to speak to them about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and in this way, some young boys and girls became attracted to Srila Prabhupada, and the Hare Krishna movement started in 26th Second Avenue. It's a small storefront. Anyway, maybe that picture will come afterward. So these are the boys and girls who came forward to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission. This is the storefront. The name of the shop, actually, it was a shop, storefront, that Srila Prabhupada rented with the help of some of the young boys that were assisting him. The name of the shop actually was the Matchless Gift. And it was so significant that Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada kept that name actually because it was so relevant to what he went to give there, the matchless gift of Krishna consciousness. Today we celebrated the Rath Yatra festival in the Sydney beachfront. And Srila Prabhupada started the Rath Yatra first in San Francisco in 67 actually. Srila Prabhupada started the Rath Yatra. The Rath Yatra also was very wonderful, the way it manifested. Like in the early days, Srila Prabhupada had a few. Srila Prabhupada first set up the center in New York, And then Srila Prabhupada went to San Francisco. And in San Francisco, one day, one girl brought something she found in a curio shop, which looked Indian. So she bought that one and thought that she would give it to Srila Prabhupada. So she brought that to Srila Prabhupada. And as soon as Srila Prabhupada saw that, he got out of his seat and offered his pranam, offered obeisances. And they all were very surprised why Swamiji is offering obeisances to this doll. That happened to be Lord Jagannath. Then Prabhupada asked, was there any other such models? Then she said, yes. So Prabhupada said, go and get them. So that is how Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra first appeared. Then one of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples was an artist. He was quite adept in wood carving. So Srila Prabhupada gave those small deities of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra and asked that disciple of his, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, to carve a bigger one. And that is how Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra's deities were carved out of wood. And they were the first deities that were installed in ISKCON, in San Francisco. So one day, Srila Prabhupada found that, one afternoon, Srila Prabhupada found that Jagannath is not there in the temple. So he became very surprised and he became quite concerned also. And upon inquiring, Srila Prabhupada found out that some devotees have taken Jagannath out to Golden Gate Park. Golden Gate Park is the big park next in San Francisco where the young Americans used to hang out there those days. So Prabhupada immediately went there and Prabhupada found that they all are chanting and dancing in circles around Jagannath in Golden Gate Park. So from that time, Prabhupada got the idea of holding Jagannath's Ratha Jatra festival, chariot festival. And the first chariot was built, it was just a regular flatbed truck. And the flatbed truck was decorated and Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra were carried through the Golden Gate Park. And in this way, in ISKCON, the chariot festival of Jagannath started. And today, in practically all the major cities of the world, we hold Jagannath's chariot festival. Like we celebrated chariot festival here today. So that is how we are seeing the devotees chanting and proper dancing in ecstasy along with them. Srila Prabhupada, while spreading Krishna consciousness, traveling around the world, but one thing that Srila Prabhupada was very, very particular about, it didn't matter how busy he was, but he always translated at night. Prabhupada's schedule was amazing. Like, I had the good fortune of serving Srila Prabhupada personally. And I used to see Srila Prabhupada would take rest around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And at about 1 o'clock, he would get up at night, no matter wherever he was. And he would translate, start translating with giving his commentary, which is known as Bhaktivedanta Purport. Srila Prabhupada, in this way, within the short span of 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada wrote 75 volumes of books. The entire essence of the Vedic wisdom had been presented by Srila Prabhupada in his books, in his translations of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada's one of the more main mission was to distribute his books. Srila Prabhupada wrote the books and the devotees distributed those books. And today we can claim that we have worldwide, we have distributed a few hundred millions of books written by Srila Prabhupada. They have been translated in all the major languages of this world, and millions of books are going out every year in all over the world. These are some of the books of Srila Prabhupada. The upper one is Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the next one is Chaitanya Charitamrita. This side is Nectar of Devotion and Bhagavad Gita on the other side. Many wonderful personalities came forward to assist Srila Prabhupada's mission, being inspired by Srila Prabhupada, and one of them is George Harrison. George Harrison played a very, very significant role in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. In 1969, George Harrison came in contact with our devotees in London, and his first meeting was very wonderful with the devotees. Some of the devotees managed to go into the Apple studio without having a proper appointment with George Harrison. And they got to know some of the members of the Grateful Dead group, which was very famous. And when Grateful Dead came to London, their manager actually arranged this meeting with them to come to Apple Studio. And they went dressed up like the devotees, the way the devotees dress. And they were like Americans, Shamsundar, Mukunda, and Gurudas. So when George Harrison just came out of his room and he was going into the studio, while he was passing through the passage, he saw the devotees and he just asked, "Where you guys have been? I've been searching for you for so many months." And he said in San Francisco, he actually heard the chanting, the devotees chanting, and he was very impressed. And since then, he had been searching for the devotees to meet with them. And here, accidentally, he just bumps into the devotees who sort of get crashed into his studio. And so this is how George actually became involved. And this is the property that George Harrison offered to Srila Prabhupada. It's in North London, Northwest London, in Watford area. It's a manor, a beautiful old building on 17 acres of land that George Harrison offered to Srila Prabhupada, and that's how our London temple was established in that area. Today, we have about 110 acres of land, and the credit actually goes to George Harrison undoubtedly for that. So these are some important people that have been affected by Srila Prabhupada. The one of them is the mayor of Geneva. Then in 1976, Newsweek interviewing Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted 500 years ago. Incidentally, let us also make this point here, that who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. At the end of Dwapar Yuga, Krishna performed his pastimes, and then in the following Kali Yuga, that is this age, About 500 years ago, Krishna again appeared as a devotee. This has been presented in the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata. For example, Bhagavatam is describing that fact as Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangha Pangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prayair Jajantihi Sumedhasa. Krishna, assuming a non-darkish complexion, Krishna's complexion is dark like monsoon cloud. So he will assume an on-Krishna, which means non-Krishna Varna complexion, and he will appear along with his associates and entourage, Sangha Pangastra, Parshadam, and he will propagate, he will establish Jaggai Sankirtana Prayair, a very unique sacrifice called Sankirtan Jagya, the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And Jajantihi Sumedhasaha, those who are extremely intelligent, Sumedhasaha, they will worship him in this Sankirtan Jagya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only propagated this Krishna consciousness movement or Sankirtan Jagya 500 years ago, but he also predicted that Prithivite Ache Jato Navuradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Morna. In every town and village all over the world, this Sankirtan movement, chanting of the holy name of the Lord, will spread. So that prediction was made 500 years ago, when, what to speak of, every town and village, people did not even know how many continents were there. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that prediction that in every town and village, which was apparently an impossible prediction, but today that has become a reality. We are seeing Krishna consciousness movement, the Sankirtan Jagya, is spreading all over the world in every town and village. Although it didn't spread in every town and village, but it has spread all over the world, and now it's only a matter of time that the ultimate fulfillment of the prediction will take place. Srila Prabhupada established many, many temples, and after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, Srila Prabhupada's dedicated devotees have built a monument for Srila Prabhupada, the Samadhi Mandir in Mayapur. This is about 200 feet high, and it is considered to be the largest dome in the Southeast Asia. Another temple in Delhi, which was inaugurated in 1998, the Prime Minister of India, Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, actually inaugurated this temple. And that was the first program that he did after he became the Chief Prime Minister of the country. This is our temple in Vrindavan. This is a temple that I built, or rather I was instrumental in building a temple in Ujjain. It's a fully hand-carved marble temple covering about 10,000 square foot area, and this was built in 9 months and 20 days. This is a temple in Auckland in New Zealand, not too far from here. of various activities that ISKCON is involved, is one of them is Food for Life. Srila Prabhupada made it a point that, or instructed us emphatically, that in the vicinity of our temple, no one should go hungry. Therefore, we have one of the most important projects to distribute food to the people in general. So this is one of the food distribution program in India, Midday Meal Project. Now, to coming back to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Srila Prabhupada did not really concoct anything or invent anything new. Srila Prabhupada simply presented what is the essential teachings of the Vedas. And the Vedas simply present the scientific facts and reality. Like, one of the teachings of the Vedas is a very simple principle of action-reaction principle, which is known as karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, you will generate the reactions. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So, this is a warning that the Vedas give us. Be careful how you act, because your action is going to generate reaction. If you don't act properly, then its result, its reaction, is also not going to be pleasant. Wrong action will lead you to suffering, and right action will lead you to enjoyment. Therefore, act properly. Like, here is one picture that you are seeing. That another thing is that karma, the karmic theory, whether we believe it, whether we accept it or not, is going to catch up with us. Like, I may deny the state law, but the state system is going to get me when I break the law. The police system is going to arrest me and subject me to punishment. Whether I accept it or not, it doesn't matter. Similarly, in a larger sphere, in the larger concept, in the universal concept, there are laws given by the Lord Himself, and it is proper to abide by those laws. If we abide by the laws, then the result will be beneficial. But if we disregard those laws, if we break those laws, then we'll be convicted and we will be subjected to punishment. How they act, like today somebody may be slaughtering a cow and eating its meat. But this life is not everything. His life is going to continue even after death. And even if he doesn't suffer the consequences of his action in this life, he will be subjected to that in his next. So today somebody may be slaughtering a cow, but he should be prepared to be born as a cow and somebody else will slaughter him. That was a very simple principle of karmic reaction. Now, Srila Prabhupada was presenting a science, the science of spiritual reality. Srila Prabhupada was not actually asking us to follow certain faith. Srila Prabhupada was simply presenting us to accept the scientific facts. And this is the universality of teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Like, Bhagavad Gita is explaining that Dehi Nashmin Jatha Dehe Kaumaram Jovanam Jara Tatha Dehantara Praptir Dhiras Tatra Namayati. Let's look at our life. Kaumaram Jovanam Jara. We are born, then Kaumar, childhood, to boyhood, to youth, and then gradually old age, and then finally we die. So this is the reality. Everybody is who is born gradually from childhood will grow to boyhood and to youth, and then after the youth, the decline will start, and eventually he'll become old, and then finally he will die. But what actually changes is the body that changes. But our self doesn't change. We do not change. Like, our body may change, but our eyes do not change. We relate to ourselves. When I was 5 years old, when I was 15 years old, when I was 25 years old, when I'm 50 years old, and so forth. Like, my 5-year-old body is completely different from 15 years old body. Then when I'm 25, then the body changes into another body altogether. Clinically, it is admitted that every 7 years, the entire cell structure of our body changes. That means 7 years back, the cells that I had in my body, not a single one from that time is existing in this body. The body changes, but we do not change. So who is that I? That I is the self. I is the soul. I is the spiritual identity of ourselves. That I is non-material. That I is eternal. The I is imperishable. The body dies, but the I continues. The soul continues in the next body. So this is called Dehantara Prapti. From one body, we transmigrate to another body. And in this way, our spiritual identity has been established in Bhagavad Gita. And this was the basic teachings of Srila Prabhupada, or the foundation of our spiritual understanding. So thank you all very much. And we have our temple in Sydney, and please, if you are not a regular visitor of our temple, please come to our temple. We'll be very happy to receive you all. And if you haven't read Srila Prabhupada's books, I will request, please read Srila Prabhupada's books, and I'm sure you will like it. You will learn a lot from that. And if there is any way we can help you in your spiritual understanding, please don't hesitate to let us know. And in this way, we are trying to benefit the world. We are trying to benefit everybody. Besides giving this spiritual awareness, the spiritual understanding, we do not have any other motive. We do not have any other agenda. We don't have any other intention. All we want is to simply benefit everybody by giving them the spiritual wisdom, which is a science. It is a science. It is not a matter of faith, what to speak of blind faith. It's a science, and Srila Prabhupada used to inspire us to accept it as a science, and we also try to present it to everybody as a science. That means science means it can be experimentally verified, and its facts can be established in that way. If the definition of science is experimentally verified facts, then this is the science about the spiritual reality. So, if you are interested, please come to us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Bhakti Churu Maharaj, for sharing with us Srila Prabhupada's contributions to society, beautifully reminding us of Prabhupada's sincere determination and effort, particularly when Maharaj was describing how Prabhupada had to beg Sumati Muraraji for a passage on her Sindhya steamship, and the double bind that she was in, not wanting to send him because he was so elderly, but then also not wanting to disregard his request because he was a respected senior to her. Beautiful presentation by Maharaj. Now we would like to invite Sumati Aruna Chandrala, the President of the United India Association. She has been involved in promoting mutual respect between Australian citizens, Indian migrants, and society in general through increased social interactions to create mutual respect via different social events like sports and recreation and other events to create that social relationship. Please welcome Sumati Aruna Chandrala.